Let us hear God's word. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Dear congregation, what a blessing to have seen Jesus through the eye of faith. And then to have the prospect of seeing him with the eyes of the soul at death, and then further with eyes of flesh after that great day to come. Job was a man who had seen the Lord by the eye of faith, and he was looking forward to that great day when he would see the Lord with eyes of flesh. Job 19, verse 25, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. See their faith. Yet this faith, he was looking, yet this saving knowledge, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. And as we think of those words, you see there, Job had faith. He was looking forward to seeing the Lord. What a glorious day and what a glorious eternity awaits the believer. Dear congregation, have you tonight a heart warmed within, and are you waiting to see Jesus? And let me ask you, when did you last have such a longing to see the Lord? What a blessing to know the heart stirred and an anticipation of seeing God's salvation. Now, Jerusalem, as we saw in our reading tonight, there was a certain old man called Simeon who was waiting to see Jesus. Now, in verse 25, we're told he was just and devout. He was a righteous man and very religious. He had a great concern for the truth. He was a God-fearer and have faith in the Messiah. Well, we live in a day when there is not many God-fearers in this nation. But there is a number. And you, dear child of God, through grace, are numbered amongst that number. Well, he was a God-fearer who had faith in the Messiah. Now, we're told this of Simeon. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. He was waiting for one to come, the consolation of Israel. And as you go through these verses, plainly we see it is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. The word consolation, from the Greek word has the meaning of a calling near, a summoning to one's side to encourage or console. And thus there is comfort. And what a blessed work of the Lord through his Spirit. He calls near to encourage. Comfort ye, my people. Remember in the upper room how he called near to his disciples. In my Father's house are many mansions. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. And as we think then of the consolation of Israel, there was comfort for the true people of God through Christ. And so there is today. What encouragement and comfort is afforded through Christ. I often read these words in hospitals and in rest homes. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. What a contrast between the peace that the world offers and the peace that Christ gives to his children. The consolation of Israel. Now, Simeon, He had already tasted that the Lord was good. He had already known that comfort where he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And then we read in verse 26, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. He was assured, it had been made plain to him that he was not going to die until he had seen the consolation of Israel, the Lord's Christ. Well, we know in the providence of God, on a certain day, Simeon was found in the temple, and in comes Joseph and Mary with our Lord to do, as we read in verse 27, to do for him after the custom of the law, as we note there in verse 22 and forward. Well, in comes our Lord, and Simeon sees him. And we're told in verse 28, then took he him up in his arms. What a wonderful moment that was. He'd been waiting for a while. The days, the months, and the years have passed, but now he had the consolation of Israel in his arms. Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God. You see how thankful he was. His prayers were answered. He saw the Lord. He blesses God. He rejoices in God's salvation, mindful of what the Lord had come to do. And then in verse 29 we read this. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. The promise had been fulfilled, and now he's ready to die. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. He makes it a prayer, but it's also something he knew at that moment. Peace in his soul. He desired to die in peace, and in peace he died. He entered eternity in peace. Dear congregation, tonight eternity stands before you. If you have seen Jesus with the eye of faith, all is well. And you will die, you will enter eternity, and such peace will take hold of your soul. These are lovely words. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Well, tonight I'd like us to consider, first of all, waiting for Jesus. Secondly, seeing God's salvation. Thirdly, departing in peace. Firstly, waiting for Jesus. Verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting. Now, there's an interesting Greek word. At the root of the Greek word, it means to receive from any quarter. To receive. And therefore, there is a waiting, an expecting, a looking for. Let me illustrate this. You may, in these days, order something online. And you get the email come through and you're told to expect it between such a date and another date. And so you have the information that something is coming which you have ordered. And when the time comes, there's this looking for, this expectation to receive. We look for it. You may come home and you go to the door to see if the post has been, to see if there's a little box that's arrived in the porch. You're looking for. You're looking to receive. Well, here's Simeon. He was looking for. He was in anticipation of receiving. Now come with me to verse 37. And we'll see this illustrated further. And she was a widow, that's Anna, of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem, that were looking for the redemption, for the Messiah who would come and accomplish redemption, who would deliver. They were looking Well, one of them was Simeon, as we note there in verse 25. It was prophesied that Messiah would come, the Lord, the consolation of Israel, the one who would draw near to encourage the true people of God and comfort them. And they were looking. They had read of Messiah in Isaiah 61 verse 1, who would heal the broken heart. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord have anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He have sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. We note those words there, to bind up the brokenhearted, and that comfort, that consoling through Christ. And they were waiting for one who would heal their broken hearts, who would comfort their souls. They were looking. They were in anticipation. They knew that one would be born whose name is Emmanuel, who would be called in Isaiah 9, Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. They were in expectation of the Prince of Peace coming to them and comforting them and delivering them. They were waiting, and Simeon was waiting for the Prince of Peace. Now we have some interesting words in Isaiah 25 verse 9. And it shall be said in that day, though this is our God, we have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Now we wait for him now in view of his second coming. We wait for him in view of a day of God's power. They waited for him before he came the first time. We have waited for him. They were looking in verse 38. Here's Simeon. He's waiting for the consolation of Israel. Now Jesus came and accomplished redemption. We'll note in a moment he's the Lord's Christ, the one who came, who was anointed, who saved sinners, as we read in 1 Timothy 1 verse 15, who did that which was necessary to save those who trust in him. And if you're without Christ, it is look unto him, because he alone accomplished redemption. Your need is of him. You're a sinner. You need the consolation of Israel. You need the Saviour. So it is looked unto him. Well, he accomplished redemption. 40 days after his resurrection, he ascended up into heaven and sat down. And he's there awaiting his return. And we think of his second coming. It will be the final step of his exaltation. And as we think of that, he will not be coming in humiliation, bearing our sins, but in exaltation. And so we read in Hebrews 9 verse 28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him, shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation? What does that mean? He will not be coming to bear the sins of his people. No, that's all done. But he's coming, and they're looking for him, the people of God. And what a day it will be. He will come to judge the world. Oh, what a wonderful day it will be, no, for the people of God, for they will hear those sentences, and then when those sentences are executed, they with him will enter the heavenly world. But we note there in Hebrews 9 verse 22, unto them that look for him. Are you looking? Simeon was waiting, and so ought we to be waiting. We know the certainty of his coming. You listen to his final message in the Bible, Revelation 22, verse 20. The Lord says this, surely I come quickly. Amen. It's true. Surely. See how he emphasizes it there. Surely. There's no question. I come quickly. Amen. And then we read, even so come, Lord Jesus. And there's the people of God in expectation, longing for his coming. He says in the final message, "Surely I come quickly." How are you responding? "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." There's no question, young ones, there's no question. He is coming. Many laugh at the church. We sung of that in Psalm 1, did we not? "One in the scorner's chair." And how they scorn. How they laugh at the Christian. How they laugh at the church. But he's coming. It's true. So therefore, are you waiting? Are you like Simeon tonight, looking for the consolation of Israel, the one of great comfort? Are you looking for the Redeemer for his return? Back in Psalm 130, verse 5, we read this: "I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope." There was this waiting of the psalmist, this expectation. Now we know in the first light he was waiting for the Lord to draw near to him and so lift his spirit more and more, and that he might have a fresh and a growing sense of pardon. Remember those words, "Out of the depths have I cried unto thee." He'd been in the depths, but he's crying out to the depths. He feels the Lord is working and beginning to lift him, but he wants that further help. He wants to so sense the Lord has come to him. And so he's waiting. That's the first light. But then we can look a little further. "I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope." He's waiting for the Redeemer there in that psalm, who would come, the promised one. "In his word do I hope." But then further tonight, waiting for his return. "I wait for the Lord." You know, you can go to a train station, and you go to the train station, you may be a little earlier, and you sit down, and you sit with others in the waiting room, and others come in, and you note them, they're all sitting down, they're waiting. Do people see you as waiting? You're waiting for the Lord to come? Well, the psalmist waited for the Lord, and so did the people of God in the psalmist day. Simeon waited for the Lord. And in time he saw him. Have you an expectation? Have you this expectation of the Lord who is coming again? Waiting, longing for his coming. "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." As we will note a little later tonight, we're to talk often to the Lord. Do we talk to him about his coming? The Lord has given us the words to say, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." If our head is buried in this world, we're not likely to say those words. If we've been drawn by this world, we're not likely to be saying those words. But oh, with our souls stirred and our hearts thinking of him, he says to our souls tonight through his words, "Surely I come quickly, even so come, Lord Jesus." The heart is focused on him. Talk to him. Song of Solomon 8, verse 14. "Make haste, my beloved, and be thou like to a roll to a young hart upon the mountains of spices." Make haste. Come quickly, Lord. Make haste, Lord. We can reverently say to the Lord those words, "Make haste," because the Lord has given these words. Remember, our Lord in his humiliation cried that the Lord would make haste, as we see in the Psalms. We can reverently say to the Lord, in view of his coming, "Make haste." We first will be found waiting. Because if we're not waiting, we will not say, "Make haste." Or we'll be found waiting, looking for, in expectation. "Even so, come, Lord Jesus," waiting for him. There was a great expectation and longing for the Lord in John's heart. "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Dear brethren, do not we find ourselves echoing these words tonight as we think of Christ and our minds are focused on him? Even so come, Lord Jesus. Now, if we are in expectation, it's plain then that we are found living in light of his coming, particularly living in light of Christ. Colossians 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Christ our life, he's coming. He's in our souls if we know him. Set your affections on things above. Oh, what a blessing to do that as we walk through this world, as we must attend to those mundane things at times, or to look up and to consider him who lives within our hearts, to be found living in the light of the Lord. Set your affections on things above. Set your affections on heavenly things. Think of Christ. If we're to be found waiting, we need to daily think of Christ. To really just stop and think of Christ. You know, you can read some verses of Scripture. And I begin with myself. At times you can read and you haven't thought of the Lord. You've just done your reading to appease your conscience. Oh, to meditate, the joy, the delight of meditating on the Lord and his word. Oh, think of Christ each day. Consider him, be in expectation each day, waiting for the consolation. It implies one has faith. They believe his is coming, and then they're waiting. Are you a believer tonight? Are you waiting? Well, let's consider secondly, seeing God's salvation. Verse 26. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. You know, as you think of this, what a wonderful revelation. He was not going to die until he had seen the Lord. What a wonderful revelation. Just think of it. He was going to see Jesus. And he knew it before he died. Now we read in verse 26, of the Lord's Christ, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. We know plainly it's the Lord. Come with me to verse 30. Remember, Simeon now has the Lord in his arms. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Interesting words, isn't it? Thy salvation. And those particular two words open up the Old Testament, and particularly the book of Psalms. And so we see Jesus. Because when you go through the Psalms, and you know there's 45 times in the book of Psalms, a particular word is used which speaks of God's salvation. 45. I checked it the other day. Well, this verse here opens up the Old Testament and opens up the book of Psalms. To seeing the Lord. It's a reference here to God's salvation, to the Saviour, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Take for instance, Psalm 98 verse 2. The Lord hath made known his salvation. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And we could go to many other Psalms and see Jesus in the Psalms and many other passages of Scripture. The help we need for that is here. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Then go back to verse 26. He had seen the Lord's Christ. The anointed one. The anointed Messiah. The chosen one. A covenant, the covenant of grace was made with the chosen Redeemer. In Isaiah 42 verse 1 we read, behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, is a reference to Christ. Mine elect. 1 Peter 1 verse 20, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Foreordained before the foundation of the world. A reference to God's elect, the Lord's Christ. The chosen one. Psalm 89 verse 3, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. The one loved in eternity before this world was made. And the one who was mighty and so was able to meet the condition of the covenant. You see why Christ was chosen. Because he was the object of the Father's love from all eternity. And he was mighty. We've already touched on those words tonight. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. A covenant was made with him. The chosen one. He was chosen, and the help the elect needed was placed on him in that covenant. In Psalm 89 verse 19 we read this. Then thou spakest in vision to thy Holy One. And saidest, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. He was chosen partly because he was mighty. And we read there, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. Help was laid on Christ. The help, dear brethren, we needed was laid on Christ. The salvation, the accomplishment of it was laid on him, and all the help we need was laid on the Lord's Christ. Listen to Spurgeon. I have laid help upon one that is mighty. The Lord had made David a mighty man of valor, and now he covenants to make him the helper and defender of the Jewish state. In a far fuller sense, the Lord Jesus is essentially and immeasurably mighty, and on him the salvation of his people rests by divine appointment, while his success is secured by divine strength, being engaged to be with him. Let us lay our faith where God has laid our help. I have laid help upon one that is mighty, the Lord's Christ. Now Simeon, by faith, had seen the Lord before this occasion. He had faith. By faith he saw the Lord's Christ. He read of him and sung of him in the Psalms, in the temple. He had faith in him. Have you faith in the Lord's Christ? What a blessed day it was for Simeon. He saw with his own eyes the Lord's Christ. But remember this, he already saw him by faith. As we see in verse 25, have you seen the Lord by faith? Have you seen the Lord's Christ? Have you embraced him in the arms of faith? Just go to verse 28. Just follow this scene through. Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, here's Simeon. He's got Jesus in his arms, but he already had him in his arms of faith when he said these words. James Fisher writes, like Simeon, to grasp him in the arms of faith with delight. You grasping Christ in the arms of faith? Have you received him? Notice verse 28. Then took he him up in his arms. He took hold of the Lord. Have you took hold of him by faith? John 1, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Receiving the unspeakable gift by faith. You consider Simeon for a moment. He takes hold of the Lord. What delight. Simeon had been waiting. Now he has Jesus in his arms. What delight. I remember the delight of holding my children one by one when they were born. What a delight to hold a little one. But oh, what delight there was in the heart of Simeon as he held Jesus. Then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. He looks at Jesus in his arms, and then he looks up and prays and he gives thanks and such delight in his soul. Do you know the delight of holding Christ? It's a reference of faith, isn't it? Song of Solomon, I held him and would not let him go. We see there the people of God, their faith is stirred. There's that exercise. Not always is that exercise. But we see there the exercise of faith. I held him. Are you holding Christ tonight in your soul? And are you holding him with delight? Psalm 51, the joy of thy salvation. Here's Simeon. What joy in his soul he takes hold of Jesus. Have you joy in your heart tonight in holding Christ? Are you looking on him with the eye of faith? Well, if so, one day you will behold Jesus with the eyes of your soul in heaven. We think of Simeon here. He's looking on Jesus with his eyes. He'd already beheld him through the eye of faith. Well, now Simeon is beholding Jesus with the eyes of his soul. And if you're a believer, one day you will behold Jesus in heaven with the eyes of your soul. We'll come in a moment to considering beholding Christ with eyes of flesh on that great day, the day of resurrection. But consider the intermediate state, beholding Jesus with the eyes of the soul. Dear brethren, and it won't be very long compared in comparison to eternity, you will be looking straight at the face of Jesus. And I tell you this, when you get to glory and eternity, you'll look back. It wasn't long, was it, from that sermon till I saw Jesus. And one day you will, with the eyes of your soul, be beholding his lovely face. You will see him. What a thought that is. Soon I will be looking at Jesus. And I will be delighting in him. If you're without Christ, one day you'll be looking at Jesus. And you'll know him to be but the judge. But for the believer, what a blessing to know him as the Saviour and as my friend. The time is coming. I will be gazing at Jesus. That's the prospect, isn't it? The moment is coming for me. I will soon be looking into the eyes of Jesus. You think of the eyes, they are the window of the soul. And oh, what I will know of Jesus when I look at his eyes in heaven. So much will be seen. Love will be seen, his mercy will be seen, his grace will be seen in his eyes, the tenderness he had for me, the care, it will all be seen in his eye. I will be looking at the eyes that loved me. What a thought. Jesus is watching you now, dear child of God. With eyes of love, soon you will see those eyes of love. I will see those lips that spake the wonderful gospel to me through his word. What a thought that is. I will see his lips. And I will see his lips move in such gracious words towards me. Welcome. Come in. One day I will see him speaking to my soul. How do I know that? The transfiguration. They were talking with Jesus. What a thought that is. He, one day soon, will be talking, and I will see him talking with the eyes of my soul. What a sight is coming. If you're a Christian, Lord, that you would grasp this one thing, if it be just this one thing, through God's grace, one day you will see Jesus. That's the reality. and I will be delighting. You think of Simeon, he held the Lord. Jesus drew near and he held the Lord. What joy when I see Jesus, and how my soul will so be melted by his love. What joy will hit my soul as I see his lovely face. And then I see his hands, and my soul will be so moved at the nail prints. What a sight is coming. What a thought, I'm going to see him soon. What joy, what delight will be so filling my soul as I gaze at Jesus. And I will never take my eyes off him. But that's not all. We can think of another step now. The great day, the day of resurrection. And I with eyes of flesh will behold him. What a thought. As we see in Job, I shall see God. What a thought that is. One day we will see God through Christ. With eyes of flesh, no tears of affliction will blur your vision. You know what it is at times when you've been crying maybe for a long time and your eyes are red and you've got so many tears and you look out and it's a blur. In Emmanuel's land, your eyes will never be blurred by tears of affliction. No tears of affliction, neither tears of conviction. Oh, that we would know more tears of conviction here. But oh, then there will be no tears of conviction because there will be no sin. You will see clearly, no blurred vision. A couple of years ago, as some of you know, I had an accident in the garden. And as a result of an explosion, I lost my sight in my left eye for a while. But it started to come back a few hours later. I remember the next day and looking out with that eye, it was a thick haze and there was little brown dots over the whole of the eye, but I could just see, and as the days passed and the months passed, it cleared, and I'm very thankful for where I am now, but I still need glasses. My sight isn't clear. I can only see a few near the front, clearly. Oh, I'm so thankful, my sight will be perfect for all eternity. No blurred eyes. And I will behold him with such vision, such a pure vision, and such a vision in my soul, not tainted with sin. And I will forever behold Christ. Nothing will come in the way. You know how it is, your eyes deteriorate. That will never happen in Emmanuel's land. And I'm so thankful. Your eyes will never deteriorate. You'll always see Jesus with such sharpness, such clarity. You'll always with such clarity see his love on his face. You'll always with such clarity behold the glory. With perfect vision, I will behold Jesus forever. Dear brethren, for all eternity, we will behold God's salvation. That's the hope, and that's our prospect. Oh, how I long to see him. Can I ask you tonight, do you long to see him? And then when did you last long to see him? Will you long to see him again this week? Or will it be next Sabbath before you begin to think again? Oh, this longing to see him. How I long to see him. Have you told Jesus that? You know what it is? Somebody's been away, maybe on the mission field or in another part of the world on some other business, and they're coming back. I observed the other day a few messages that somebody was returning from the mission field to this country and arrived home yesterday. And there were people waiting, looking forward, can't wait to see you. Have you told that to Jesus? That I can't wait to see thee. the beloved of my soul, the friend I have above all friends. Tell it to him. We thought often in Psalm 116, I love the Lord, and we're to be found telling him often, I love thee. If you haven't done it today, tell him now. Tell him now how much you love him. And tell him your longing to see him. It's an expression we use, isn't it, with others. We can't wait to see you. Oh, to say it to the Lord, I cannot wait to see my beloved Redeemer. Longing to see thee. We understand the apostle, do we not? Having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. He knew it was right for him to remain, but we see his longing. He wanted to see Jesus. And that's my testimony. Oh, I want to see him soon. But a long life in the meanwhile for his glory. Tell him how much you love him. Tell him you want to see him soon. It's part of waiting, isn't it? Part of expectation. This expectation. Express your desire to see him. Is there someone here? These things are strange to you. Why do I want to see someone I don't know? I don't want to see him. There's someone here tonight, you do not want to see Jesus because you don't know him. You haven't discovered that he is altogether lovely. You haven't tasted in your soul that he is good. You're blind. And if you don't want to see Jesus, you must be blind. Oh, I long to see him. I've been given this faith in my soul and this longing, this expectation. If you don't, what's up with you? Have you not discovered he is altogether lovely? Have you not discovered he is the chiefest among 10,000s? Oh, flee to him. Oh, what a prospect of seeing Jesus. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. The believer, when they die, will see God's salvation. You're going to see him whom Simeon saw just over 2,000 years ago. We're thirdly in closing tonight, and we'll be very brief, departing in peace. Verse 29, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. He desires to die, knowing peace, and peace he knew. He's thinking of death here. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart. We think of the departure to 2 Timothy 4, verse 6. The apostle wrote, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. One day we're going to leave this world. Let's think of that. We're going to die. One day you're going to take your last breath. You're going to die. There's going to be that separation. The departure is coming. We do not know when that day will be, but it is certain. Who knows? Tonight may be the last time you ever see me. And it may be tonight is the last time I ever see you here upon earth. We do not know. Death comes. And let me impress this upon you. Death is coming to your soul, to your life rather. It will come knocking on the door of your life. There will be this separation. Your soul will depart. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Our departure is coming. We do not know when, but one day we'll get to the valley, and it will be the last valley. You may know that you're entering the valley. Not all do. Suddenly, it suddenly comes, and one suddenly dies. But for others, they know they've arrived, and now there's a painful time in the valley. One day we're going to arrive at that valley, and we must tread it. Dear child of God, you will not tread it alone. Since you've come to faith, you've trod no valley alone. The Lord has been with you. You will not tread the last valley alone. It may be a difficult time, even for those who know peace in their hearts tonight. It may be a difficult time. I must tell you as lovingly as I can, dear brethren, I must prepare you. It may be a hard going. It may be a difficult struggle in which you know trouble. It would be my prayer that you would all know such a peaceful death in the sense of no struggles. But I can't assure you that. It's a valley. And for some, it may be a very deep valley, a long valley. For others, it may be just a shorter valley, as it were. But peace will come. You may be at peace tonight, and you might know that peace all the way to the end. But for some, they may know peace, but when they're into the valley, they seem to struggle. And the devil comes with his arrows. Are you really a Christian? And one struggles. Pain is much, and can be a struggle, but peace will come. I can assure you on the authority of the word of God, before you see Jesus, peace will have already met you from Jesus. For the unbeliever, this is not the case. There's no true peace. They will die in their sins and they will be consumed with terrors. Psalm 73 verse 19, and hell will be before them. How many tonight will die without Christ in this world? And hell will be before them. Oh, I plead with you, if you're not a Christian, flee to Christ. I pray that no one here sees hell. I want to see you all in heaven. What a dreadful death for the unbeliever, and that needs to be made plain in these days. What misery! Death will be no happy release for the unbeliever. You know what happened in 1942? Permission was given for assisted suicide in Switzerland. And I was shocked. It was 1942. I thought it was more recent. 1942, permission was given for assisted suicide in Switzerland. And how many have gone to that place? Hoping for a peaceful end. And they were consumed with terrors when they died. Well, we think of death. It's a solemn subject. But note these words here of Simeon. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. He wants to die in peace, and he knew peace. He was a man at peace. He knew Christ, and all was well for his soul. If you're a believer tonight, just grasp it. You may know trouble yet, but just grasp it. All is well for my soul. I can look at death. It can be a difficult time. It may be a difficult time, but all will be well. Jesus will see me through the valley and bring me out the other side. It was Simeon. He was at peace. John Owen wrote this just before his death. I am going to him whom my soul loveth. Or rather, who has loved me with an everlasting love, which is the sole ground of all my consolation, the love of Jesus. And if you have tasted of the love of Jesus, you can die in peace. A difficult valley is coming, and you may know trouble. But let me assure you, you will know peace at the end. You will close your eyes for the last time. And then such peace, such tranquility will take hold of your soul. And then you'll see Jesus. What a moment is coming for me. And you who love the Lord, what a moment. Tranquility like none before will take hold of your soul. And then you'll know such joy as you look at Jesus. That's the hope of the gospel. God's salvation is at the end of the journey. And because of God's salvation, I will get to the end of the journey. Let me ask you, will I see you all in heaven, looking at Jesus? Will we all in this room be together, admiring Christ for all eternity? Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. If you've seen the Lord by way of faith, you'll see him with the eyes of your soul at death, and then with eyes of flesh, and you'll never take your eyes off Jesus. What a heaven, what an eternity that will be. Finally, verse 28, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God. Are you blessing God tonight? Because you're going to see Jesus. Amen. Our final psalm is Psalm 4. Psalm 4, we're going to sing from verse 4. Fear and sin not, talk with your heart, on bed and silent be, offerings present of